So we're going to depart from the book of Hebrews, although it is difficult on communion to depart from the book of Hebrews because the book of Hebrews deals with the new covenant. But in celebrating communion, Jesus said this. This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Problem with preachers today is they don't get back to the basics. Problem with much Christian teaching is they like complexity over simplicity. Paul warned that he feared for God's people that they would depart from the simplicity of Jesus Christ and get into things that don't belong. And it happened. So this morning as we celebrate communion, it's time to get back to the basics. Because the church doesn't even know the basics anymore. You all have study Bible notes. Those notes aren't in red. It's God's Word that should be the primary focus of your learning. So let's look at the new covenant. What does that mean? If somebody said, where would you find the new covenant that was promised? Would you know where to go? Because the new covenant that Jesus inaugurated was promised in the Old Testament. And if you do know where to go, most people would say, Jeremiah 33. And as a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 8, that's where Jeremiah 33 is quoted. But there's another section on the new covenant that is less familiar, that should be familiar, that explains much of what we need to know as basics. What did Jesus mean when he was celebrating the first communion, the last supper with his disciples, the first communion of the new covenant, when he inaugurated it, he went to and spoke not only of Jeremiah 33, but Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. Now look at Jeremiah 33, 31 through 33 speak of the new covenant. So did Ezekiel. And Ezekiel brings out what the new covenant is all about. As a matter of fact, if you go to Ezekiel, you'll understand what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Bible-toting fundamentalist. Here you go, Pastor Dave. You're doing it again. Why do I bring that up? Let me explain. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith here, but I don't like the culture of fundamentalism because they're the ones pointing fingers at everybody when the fingers should all point back at us. Nicodemus came in carrying his Bible, was on the Sanhedrin. Man, if ever you're in the top row, you're in the Sanhedrin. Woo! And there he was to check Jesus out, and Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now that's what I liked about Jesus. He used pictures to explain what the Bible talked about. Jesus was a very simple teacher. He didn't get into complexity like some preachers. I knew this one preacher in Houston, Texas, that used to put the atonement into a mathematical formula. I'll never forget. I opened up his commentary famous Dallas Seminary professor. His name was Bob Thiem. And there it was in his commentary, literally, mathematics for the atonement. And no one got it. Jesus pictured the new covenant as a new birth. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said to Jesus, you know what? You know what he said? I don't get it. You know why he didn't get it? Because they were studying everything but the Word of God. Do you know that was what was wrong with Jewish fundamentalism of the day? They were people of the oral law, but they weren't people of the written Word. It's even worse today. When he said, you must be born of water and the Spirit, Nicodemus said, say what? You mean I have to go a second time and be born? How can that happen? Hello? You know why? Because the Jewish people are like Christians today. They don't study the Word of God. They don't. I'll bet you could quote, if I said something like, blood moon, I'll bet you could tell me that that's a preacher in Texas who ought to shut his Bible and go into the used car business. Yeah, you're right. I don't like preachers. I told my Sunday school class this morning I don't like them because they don't point to Jesus Christ and they don't point to the Word of God. They point to what they've written. You read the Word of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. What in the wide world, Nicodemus said, do you mean? That's because he wasn't studying the Word of God. He was studying what the rabbis said. I don't give a rip what the rabbis said. I don't give a rip what the preachers say if they don't point you to the Word of God. So let's see what the Word of God says about the new birth experience. You need to be born again. Jesus said He inaugurated the new covenant. Well, what does that mean? Let's go to Ezekiel 36, 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, unless you are born by washing. Do you know the Bible is picturing the need for cleansing by the idea that you need a good scrubbing? You know, that's what the Bible means when the Bible points to baptism. We're going to have a baptism in 3 or 4 weeks, aren't we? Let me tell you something right now. There's not one thing in baptism that will save you. It's a picture. That's all it is. Look what it says in Ezekiel 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Who's doing the scrubbing there? You cannot scrub yourself in the new birth. Did you cause yourself to be born the first time? You ain't going to do it. You cannot cleanse yourself in the new birth. You are dirty, spiritually dirty. And God says, I need to give you a good bath. He's not talking about physical water. He means you need to be cleansed and forgiven of sin. And listen, it says, I will cleanse you. That's where all religion goes wrong. Because in all religion but true Christianity, someone else thinks they do the scrubbing. When you come to God, He wants you dirty. Because only He can cleanse you of that sin. Let's get simple the basics here. We're all born spiritually dirty and dead. And in the new covenant, God says, you can't clean yourself up. Come to me dirty. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be what? Listen to me. You can try to scrub yourself all you want. You'll never get clean enough for God to accept you because He only has the blood of Jesus Christ that will truly cleanse you from it. So if you're trying to earn your way to God this morning, you have no hope because you don't have the cleaning power that God has, and God must clean you. That's where all religion goes wrong. If the religion says you must come to God and clean yourself up, no, that is false religion. God said, I, in the new covenant, will clean you. Have you said to the Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, I need your cleansing power. That's what Jesus was picturing to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you fundamentalist, you Bible-carrying, Old Testament-toting, you synagogue teacher, you can't clean yourself up. You can't keep law. The law was a tutor to show us we can't. The new covenant and Jesus' blood will cleanse you. And when He cleanses you, God makes you perfectly clean. Notice what it says. And you will be clean when I clean you. I will cleanse you from all filthiness. You ever clean something and then brought it out into the light and you found out you missed I don't know how many spots? That's what will happen if you try to clean yourself. You have to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner under the new covenant. It says you will clean me. Okay, Lord, you do it. You do it. Only you can see every place where I need to be clean. Only you can cleanse. That is what Jesus talked about to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, Nicodemus, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. And so all the theologians get a hold of that and they go, water has to be, you got to get baptized. No. That's because they weren't students of the Bible. Water means Jesus was talking about Ezekiel here. Lest you be cleansed of water. God's got to scrub you. And all your filthiness and all your idols will be clean when God does it. Quit trying to do it yourself. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You clean me. Isn't that great? God knows you're filthy and He can clean you. He doesn't ask you to come cleaned up. He's got to do it. I will cleanse you. Next, verse 25. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. Jesus said to Nicodemus, 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 you must be born again. Nicodemus says, I don't get it. Jesus was saying, born again means you need a new nature. Because of Adam, we're all born not only dirty, but dead. Still born spiritually. Everyone is going to need a heart transplant. God's got to give you a new one. He doesn't take and reform the old. The old is dead. He's got to give you a new heart. By the way, you can't give yourself a new heart, can you? That'd be very difficult to do a bypass surgery on yourself. God has to do it. He's got to give you a new heart. That's what Jesus meant when He said you got to be born again. You need a new heart. That's how He was picturing it. And then I will put a new spirit within you. See that word spirit, new spirit in verse 26? You should capitalize the word new spirit. Because that's a promise of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. When God cleans you up, He gives you His Spirit. And that work of God's Spirit is what enables you to keep His commandments. Now, under the old covenant, you were told to keep God's commandments, and God deliberately gave no power to do so. Why? He was trying to tell you that God will only accept what His Spirit produces in you. You cannot please God in your own effort. God has to enable you in the new covenant to do what pleases Him. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And how will you know you've been born again? You'll have the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's the greatest softening of a hard shell Baptist I've ever seen. Because this used to be a Baptist church. Let me get in trouble here. When I was a little kid, I never saw anything but hard shell Baptists. Unloving and unkind. I'll tell you, when you get born again and the Holy Spirit is in your life, it softens you. Who can quote to me the softening effect of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? Show me where it hardens you and makes you unloving and unkind. Who's got the fruit of the Spirit? Come on. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Kindness, gentleness, patience. You want to know you've been born again? How's your love life? That's it. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the study Bible you carry. By the bumper sticker, follow me to Grace Bible Church. By the love. That's why we try to make a little difference here. I know we're a Battlestar Galactica church, but there's one thing I like about our people here. We know we're all sinners, and we welcome everybody. Well, I don't want you to applaud. Don't applaud because somebody may misunderstand. Well, what's the matter? Do they not have to repent? I didn't say that, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God's work. And it takes a yielded life. Holy Spirit, cause me to be born again and work in my life the fruit of the Spirit through the new heart. Give me your Spirit. That's what the new covenant is all about. Look at this. And I will remove the heart of stone. That's what you're born with. How in the wide world do you reach people with a heart of stone? You don't. God has to work that work. See, the new birth is the greatest miracle in the world. It causes people who are dead to come alive. And I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you. And, now look at that, verse 27, cause you to walk. Now listen to me, there's no such thing as a believer that says, yeah, I'm born again, and I'm going to go live like hell. Why? Because the effect, affect, effect, you know what I mean. You can tell someone's born again. Works don't cause you to be born again. Works show you've already been born again because God's Spirit with this new heart, with this new Spirit, is causing a change in life. I will cause you to what? Walk in my statutes. There are people that will preach, if you don't be perfect, you'll never get to heaven. No, no, no. God puts His Spirit in you, and as a result of what He does, you begin to please Him. You don't come to God trying to please Him. God has to give you the ability to do that. That's why there's a lot of people that say, yeah, I'm born again, and they evidence no fruit. Why? They're fooling themselves. The evidence that you've been born again is that God's Spirit is operating in your life. You're not doing it. Stop doing it yourself. You must say, Holy Spirit, you who dwell in me, it says in the new covenant, you will cause me to walk in your statutes. I must yield to you. Help me to please you. Look what it says. I will cause you to walk in it. You know what the viciousness of the old covenant system was? And God did it deliberately to teach us a spiritual lesson. You couldn't keep it. All it could do, Paul said, was condemn. But God didn't leave you helpless. In the new covenant, He gives you His Spirit. Therefore, there is no such thing as someone who is born again without the fruit of the Spirit. It can't happen. If you're born again, God will work in your life. By the way, it starts out as a seed. Please don't get into that where everybody has to be instantly perfect. It says the new birth in Peter, it's a seed, and in James. And God causes that to grow in your life. And He starts transforming you to Jesus Christ. But see, the new covenant says, you need cleansing. You need a new heart. But I have to do it. And bad religion. You ever gone into that place? That's a terrible place. I walked the mall with Sarah. And I saw more occult stuff at the Ventura Mall than you can shake a stick at. And I got into bad religion. I thought, boy, I can imagine what bad religion was. It's in Santa Clarita too. And it was upside down crosses and everything else. Well, I know what bad religion is. Bad religion in the new covenant is, Lord, something I can do will make me pleasing to you. No, 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 no. God must do it. In the new covenant, when Jesus established it, we are celebrating this morning that Jesus Christ, through the new covenant, cleanses us, forgives us, and then gives us His Spirit. By the way, that means this. Listen to me. There's no such thing as a person without God's Spirit. Anybody that teaches that the new birth experience is apart from the Holy Spirit and that you have to have the Holy Spirit as some type of second work, you know why they do that? They're not paying attention to what the Bible says. I will put my Spirit in you. You know what that means? You don't receive the Spirit as a secondary, well, Lord, now you need to give me your Spirit. It's suppose you bought a car and it said, now that you bought the car, how about some wheels and a dashboard for that car? What do you mean? I bought the car. That's the way some people's theology is. God gives you automatically His Spirit to do these things. There's no second blessing that some people teach. It's part of the new covenant. There are the basics. God cleanses us. Water in baptism is merely the symbol of Jesus cleansing us. He gives us His Spirit. He causes us to walk in His statutes. We produce His fruit. No wonder James says, faith without works is what? Because there's been no new birth. And why is there a big argument in Christianity? Because they're not paying attention to what the Word says. So when we celebrate the new covenant this morning, we're celebrating a work of God. And that we need His work that causes us to please Him. I'll ask the ushers if they would to pass out the elements that symbolize. By the way, communion can't save you. What does the Word of God say? I will save you.